Hi, Steve. Welcome. Today, I am joined by Emmett Peppers in person in Austin, Texas. I invited him to my house here, and we're excited to hang out with you guys and share about our experience at yesterday's Cyber Rodeo event. Emmett, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Dave. Yeah, it's great to come out here to Austin and, you know, go to the event last night and, you know, get to hang out with you today. And, you know, it's been a fun day.
I missed you at the event.
I know.
It's like so big.
So many people I chatted with on like DMs on Twitter or text. And I'm like, are you going? I'm just like, yeah, well, maybe we'll run into each other. You just knew it was going to be so big. It'd be hard to meet up with a lot of people this time.
I was thinking like we've been to a lot of events over the years going way back. And this by far is like was the biggest event,
yeah,
the craziest event. I mean, yeah, it was just like it was like a carnival of sorts, just like crazy.
Yeah, it was just a huge, like the factory is so huge, you get lost in it so easily, and then just outside they had so many festivities going on. It was just super crowded. It was like going to like Disneyland for Tesla fans or something. It was crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I was curious, I wanted to ask you like your personal experience. Did you learn anything? Did you kind of catch any insights into Tesla? How was the overall kind of Cyber Rodeo experience for you?
Overall, it was great. I mean, the biggest, I think, takeaway was for me, I think, was that there's new things on the horizon. He said he doesn't want to spill the beans, not at all. There's a lot like of cards up their sleeves still that they're working on that are but he did sort of slip out the dedicated robotaxi. So that seems to be pretty close to being firmed up a design for that probably, or, you know, that to me, I felt was the most exciting piece of news I heard in the talk.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah. I mean, the same thing, like, I was watching the talk with James Dauma, and right when Elon mentioned about this dedicated robotaxi, James turned to me. He's like, oh, yeah. it sounds like perhaps they're going to use maybe the folded stainless steel. I mean, maybe similar techniques, you know, from they learned from the Cybertruck.
Yeah.
And then hinting at a futuristic design.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, my guess is they have, you know, it all set up and ready. Elon wouldn't be talking about it
else.
So, definitely that was probably, you know, the biggest thing. And seeing the factory up in person, it's like, I've been to Fremont multiple times. We've been to Nevada too, right?
I mean, yeah.
The opening ceremony. Yeah. Where
that was big too.
Yeah, that was huge. And then to see Austin now, and it's just like massive. It's just, it brings it to reality. I wish all Tesla shareholders had the opportunity to see their factories, at least one factory, because it really brings home how big Tesla is, how big their ambition is, how much they're really trying to make a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was at that Nevada factory tour we did maybe
6-7 years
ago. Yeah, it was a while back. When
8 years ago.
It was like so big, it blew my mind.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh my gosh, Tesla is really planning to, you know.
Yeah, they take us like shuttle buses to take us to a different part because it's too far to walk.
Yeah.
It also reminded me, I was telling someone earlier, it reminded me a little bit of my first visit at the Fremont factory. I think in 2013, I went to visit the Fremont factory when I was out here, you know, on a trip to visit my sister before I lived in the Bay Area. And at that time, the Fremont factory was like half used, you know, it was, you know, half empty, half used, but it was really big and bustling, but it, you know, it's gigantic. But the Austin factory feels like it's still, you know, there's a lot left to be used, right? But of the space they have, you know, it's going to get much more crowded in time. And then I did a Fremont factory tour, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, and it was by that time like every inch of square space was being used for like robots and all kinds of things, and such a difference in those few years. So I feel like there's going to be a huge difference in the Austin factory versus last night versus like 2 years from now.
Yeah, definitely. So we got to go into the factory, and they let everybody just wander. They had kind of like this self-guided tour where you could see all of the different stations. And the first time I went through it, it was with like a bunch of people and it was noisy and mm-hmm. I couldn't really understand everything. But then toward the end of the night, right before Elon's talk, I just went through it myself. And it was like, it was amazing to see the different stations, and I could tell a lot has changed since Fremont. They just seem, everything just seems more focused, and it just seems everything seems more efficient. Like it's a different level of manufacturing. Yeah, I don't know. I'm curious, what did you pick up anything from the tour?
Yeah, it just felt very automated. Like there's no need for humans to do anything almost, it felt like. I mean, there's going to be a lot of people working there overseeing all the machines and robots, but the Giga Press, that was the most impressive. Yeah. That's what stood out to me. It was like this behemoth of a machine. And there was a guy kind of showing how the casting works with a screen. I don't know if you caught that, but they showed like how in slow motion, in like a half a second, it shoots the liquid aluminum into the mold at a super high temperature, and then it cools off. But they showed it on like a slow motion thing. It's just amazing how they're doing it.
Yeah. I got to, I was watching or looking at the Giga casting press with James Dalma, and he was explaining to me all the dynamics of how it works and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But they had this cool display where next to it, they had all the stamped sheet metal pieces that how they used to do it.
Yes, I saw that too.
Yeah, and then they compare it to now how they're doing it now. And it's just like crazy the difference, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a whole step change, I think, in manufacturing. Yeah.
And I was really surprised about like how tall it was, the building, right? Like when you had to walk upstairs to go to the upstairs area for like to see the I think the demo cars, that's where the Roadster and the Semi and the bot, you know, was and everything. And the bot was just like a mannequin of the bot. It wasn't like a working bot or anything like that.
Yeah, I missed that. I wanted to
see
it.
You didn't see it?
Yeah,
oh my gosh. Like, it was smaller than I thought. It was small. It was shorter and smaller. Yeah.
I asked James Dalma after the event if he saw it. He said he missed it too. It's like, wanted to see like all of the different parts of it, like all of the different joints and stuff.
Because
my hunch is like Tesla really thought it out and that mannequin could possibly be actually the form factor of the real bot.
Wow.
And you can learn a lot from the different, you know, how it's just put together. But I missed it. Maybe there'll be
there was like an interesting joint at every elbow and knee, you know?
Yeah.
So it was cool. Yeah. Up there, but going upstairs, like just going upstairs, you had to walk up so many flights of stairs. I was like, wow, this is a lot taller than I thought. And then there was a big floor in the middle, in between, and you can't go on the floor in the middle. That was for employees only.
Yeah.
But even the first floor and the second and the top floor we go to had really high ceilings, and there was an extra floor in the middle that like a normal floor that I guess just like corporate employees all go through.
Yeah. During the tour, probably like good many times, I kept on thinking like, wow, you know, I own a certain like percent of the company, which makes me, you know, a certain percent of this factory, and the output from this factory. So it was kind of a surreal feeling of walking into a building where you own
a tiny fraction of it.
Yeah. And I know the exact portion that I own. So I actually
I heard you talk about that before. Yeah.
I have that amount.
Good way to think about it. Yeah.
You know, how much of this factory that I own.
Yeah.
But it's definitely crazy. I would love to visit Shanghai and Berlin factories as well. Somehow, I feel like there's something that happens when you walk into one of these Tesla factories. You start to appreciate and understand kind of more about the company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're just looking at the cars, the finished product, you don't really understand like
where it comes from, how it's
Tesla's
made.
Doing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, the factories, I think, definitely a huge learning experience. So I thought it was definitely a worthwhile, you know, a great time yesterday. I'm curious, did you meet anyone that or see anything that, you know, interesting?
I mean, I tried to get on the mechanical bull at one point, but it was so like hard to stay on. I like fell off of it. I posted a video of me falling off of it. It's funny, but I did. I met several employees, a few people, you know, recognize a couple people, a handful like recognized me and introduced themselves. It was nice to talk to a couple people, but. I did one employee who I'd met at the Plaid event. He kind of reconnected with me there, and we saw him and talked to him. And he's, you know, in the engineering department. He's been there for like 8 years at Tesla. He just flew down for this from Fremont, I guess. And but yeah, he kind of just made a big point to say, you know, thank you to you and me and others for doing this stuff, because a lot of the Tesla employees, you know, learn about the company they work for from our YouTube videos about Tesla. You know, a lot of them have no idea how big behemoth or conglomerate Tesla even is as an employee. They're just kind of in their tunnel vision. They're not a stock picker. They don't understand stocks that much, for example, maybe. And, you know, so he says that we've helped a ton of employees kind of understand the mission, just communicate it in a narrative about it, and even help them decide to participate in a stock incentive plan versus not, or something. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I didn't really think about that as much as I probably should, that, you know, not only are we trying to, you know, explain how we see Tesla to other Tesla investors or Tesla fans, but there's now 100,000 Tesla employees worldwide, and who knows what percentage of them are watching YouTube videos about Tesla from, you know, the dozens of YouTubers about Tesla now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like Tesla, the company, they can't talk about valuation. They're not going to tell people, oh, we're underpriced, you know, invest in our company, et cetera. And so they probably have to, look elsewhere. And like
an institutional research that they get glimpses of, we all know that's kind of, not very quality, or you would never have bought Tesla to begin with, right?
Yeah, definitely. It was fun meeting people. We're headed out just in the next hour.
What about you, Dave? Did you meet anyone interesting? You probably had a few people that came up to you.
Yeah, it was fun. It was, I got to meet some of the people I've interviewed. Like, there's a ton of people I met in person that, it was like, I got a chance to meet, Rob Maurer and Brian Werleman, Bradford Ferguson, some other people that I've interviewed, on my channel. So that was good to see them, Farzad Marsabi, and a bunch of other people too, just to see them. And then just a bunch of people who just came up, and I met several employees as well. They've been following the channel for quite a while, had a great talk, and I met some families too, or just some couples, and they're saying how they have kids. They watch my parenting channel as well. So that was neat. Really awesome. It was just fun to connect people. And it's like being kind of running a channel, but, this is kind of the first in-person event since COVID, especially Tesla. And so it's just been kind of, it's been fun actually connecting with people.
Yeah.
We're headed to TeslaCon, I think, just within an hour or so. So yeah, it should be fun. I think they're going to, hopefully they'll live stream or do something, right?
I think there's a live stream of it. I thought I saw someone say,
Awesome. So check that out if you're interested. TeslaCon, a bunch of people will be speaking. It should be definitely fun.
Yeah.
One thing I learned actually from the tour was that it looks like Austin will only be using 4680 cells. Mm. They're not going to be using 2170. These cells. I was talking to one of the Tesla employees, and they're saying, they're getting 4680 cells from Fremont. They'll be making also, at Austin. The packs, he was saying, though, they're making them both. Right now, it's like some are coming from Fremont, and then some are coming from Austin. Hmm. And so it's kind of a mixed match of different of where the packs are coming from. My hunch is maybe they had some test packs or stuff already assembled. Hmm. But eventually probably all the packs will be made in, Austin. And
I think so.
But
they said they're going to make all the cells in Austin eventually, right? It's going to be the biggest cell manufacturer.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean, I guess
it's a structural pack. So I would think they'd have to make them at Austin at some point.
I mean, they could ship the cells, I guess, and, put them in. But it makes definitely more sense. But it's interesting. These first Model Ys coming out of Austin, they're all going to be 4680 cells.
Yeah.
So this is the new generation.
And they had their first 20 deliveries last night, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, but aren't they not technically allowed to sell directly to customers in Texas? I don't get that. Like, I can picture Elon just doing it anyway and be like, what are you going to do, arrest me? I can picture him just making a point, like I'm just going to do it and do whatever you need to try to stop it. I'm going to sell to customers being a big issue. Yeah,
I'm sure there's probably a loophole where they actually have sold it to them out of state and they're just, taking delivery or something or something.
Who knows? Yeah.
definitely. It's definitely fun catching up. I'm curious, just Tesla overall. So we've got this kind of, thing with the Shanghai factory, kind of the whole city on lockdown. Tesla is missing out big time on production in Shanghai. Does that concern you at all with Q2 numbers at all? Like production being kind of lower than expected?
it concerned me when I saw Troy Teslik's, you know, analysis, which I'm sure you saw too. And I was like, wow, that is a big impact, you know, being Shanghai, being shut down for potentially a month or more, you know, it has a big impact on the bottom line, you know, production number. And it is concerning. You know, it sounds like it's President Xi and his, you know, is very zero tolerance, you know, has a zero COVID and standing very firm on that is what I'm hearing from people who seem to understand the situation on the ground there. And they're not backing off, even though tons of people in Shanghai are like upset about it and pushing back and trying to protest a little bit. And the case count is like going up every day. And it's sort of like just like the Omicron surge is now happening over there. I think that's what's going on. But, you know, to them, it's COVID is COVID, I guess, in the zero tolerance policy. So it's even though it's, you know, much less deadly than the original COVID strains, it's still they're trying to be zero tolerance. What about you, Dave? Do you think?
Yeah, I mean,
it's an issue.
I don't know how you could do zero tolerance against Omicron.
Impossible.
You
know? Yeah, it's like 100 times more contagious than the original versions.
Yeah, so I don't know how it's going to work out. But regarding Tesla, I mean, on two sides. One is, it could get worse than we might imagine. Who knows? There's different scenarios and possibilities. But if it does, it seems like it could be a possible buying opportunity in the sense that it's just a one-time thing. It's not like this ongoing that Tesla will rebound.
Yeah.
So
I was saying the same thing. This could be like the last really big buying opportunity, like if Tesla takes a hit from this. I mean,
we say that often. I've heard that before. Last big buying opportunity.
Well, every time it's like a higher watermark of the buying opportunity. Yeah. So it's not going to go below maybe 700. I don't know. But I mean, if it dips to like the 800s again or so, I don't know. We will see, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. There's definitely with Austin and Berlin ramping, it's definitely the second half of this year looks pretty good, you know?
Yeah.
So if there could be an opportunity, you know, with Shanghai. Definitely.
Next year will be the year of the scaling big time, you know. It's a slower ramp than I think a lot of people. Like when I was originally learning about Tesla, and I remember I'd be like, oh, the Gigafactory in Nevada, they announced it, you know, I think that was like February of 2014 or something. And I was like, oh, it's probably going to get ready in like 6 months or a year. And it took like 5 years for them to get to like their aim. You know, it takes years sometimes. I mean, that was more complicated with Panasonic. It was their first giant Gigafactory, and I'm sure they learned a lot. And you saw what happened in Shanghai. They ramped up super fast. But Austin and Berlin are not going to move as fast as Shanghai, in my opinion. But we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it could move fast.
You think so?
Yeah, just because it's the Model Y. Like these are, you know, they're improvements in the processes and machines and stuff. But it's a product that's been tested. You know, it's their Fremont, Shanghai. So it's their third factory, right? So it's not like a new car or new, you know, I mean, you have some things that are new, like the single piece casting, the structural battery pack and all that. But I don't know. I think second half could surprise people. I'm expecting a slow second quarter though.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's going to take them a while. Especially just seeing the factory. I mean, they're not, it's slow moving, I think.
Yeah, they have a lot of space to fill. But it's it can start producing 500,000 capacity Model Ys, you know, sometime next year. That could be the capacity they're at.
Yeah. Stock price, have you been, were you surprised at all at this recent bounce? I mean, it's kind of, you know, corrected down a bit in the past few days, but it hit, I think, 1150, right? Just earlier this week. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of it was macro market driven, you know, after, you know, the recent Fed meeting, then the, you know, it seems like the growth in tech stocks all kind of had a nice bump up. And, this past week, everything's kind of deflated again a little bit. So I think a lot of the Tesla stock, I mean, I think it's strong relative, performing strongly relative to all the other growth in tech stocks, because now it's becoming much more of a value stock too, with its fundamentals catching up quickly, you know? And so I think that's really helpful. So where a lot of value tech stocks are down 80%, you know, 70%, you know, Tesla was down like 30 or 40% from its highs, you know? So, and now that a lot of them have recovered, you know, maybe 20 or 30%, Tesla recovered like 40% or so, I don't know. So it's performing very well comparatively, but it's still kind of floating with the tides of the macro markets to a large degree. What about you, Dave? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it was surprising to see Tesla almost like getting close to all-time highs when the rest of the market, especially growth stocks, have, you know, kind of struggling, to say the least. So, the pullback is not surprising. I mean, this is, it's going to be volatile, you know, like up and down, big moves. It's hard. I mean, just this past, like the big run, right, to let's say 1100, it's hard to predict that stuff, you know?
Very hard.
It's like, if you could predict this stuff accurately and confidently all the time, like you'll make a fortune, because it's like, just the move from like what, you know, in the 700s to 1100 is like crazy.
In like 2 weeks or something.
Yeah, it was, it's just, it's so hard, you know?
Very hard.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wish
there was some type of magic formula, but
I mean, it could drop back down pretty quickly with, you know, or it could rebound. You know, I think this earnings report will be helpful for the value story within Tesla that people will see, you know, another data point, you know, showing that their fundamentals are really picking up, and their quote unquote PE ratio that, you know, a lot of financial media references will become more down, you know, you'll be able to visibly see it coming down, you know, with projected earnings and such more. Yeah. So
definitely a stock split. Do you think 10 for one, 20 for one, 5 for one? What's your guess there?
Okay. I've been thinking about this a lot. I have. And I think they should do one giga split. Just one giga split, 50 to one.
50 to one.
Wow. A giga split. Do the giga split. Because hear me out here.
Yeah.
First principles thinking, what's the purpose of the stock flip? What's he doing it for? He's trying to make it more affordable for employees or retail investors worldwide. You know, he's not doing it to jazz the stock price. You know, that's not why he's doing it. You know, that's going to be an effect of it, obviously. But you do the 50 to one, the stock is in like $20 a share, let's say. Well, now, like, it's very affordable. We all know Tesla's going up eventually. It's not going to just stay stagnant at $20 a share for 5 years. You know, we all know that the market cap's going to probably double or triple in 5 or 7 years, maybe more. I don't know. But, you know, then it'll be $60 a share, let's say, or it'll still be under $100 a share. If they don't do the 50 to 1 split now, it's going to be a distraction every 2 years to do another 10 to 1 split for years. You know, like it's a distraction, unnecessary distraction otherwise. You know, long term, the stock fund, you know, valuation is going to be wherever it's going to be. So, from like a first principles type of idea, like just do it once, get it done with now, and don't worry about it for 10 years. You know, a giga split. That's what I'm saying. Tesla giga split, 50 to 1.
Wow, 50 to 1. That would be what, 50? Right now, there's a billion. Outstanding shares around a little more, so it would be 50 billion or more.
Yeah, wow. And 50 is a round number. It's so people are like, why don't you do? I talked to somebody like 69 to one or 42 to one. I'm like, well, that's like not a round number. Like people have to like take out their calculators then and be like, okay, how many shares I can turn up? 50 to one is a round number. You can easily say in your head, okay, that means the share price will be this. This is how many shares I would have. You know?
Yeah. No, I mean that would be $20 a share. Yeah, that makes sense.
Once giga split.
Yeah. The risk is. I mean, I guess there's not much risk.
I don't see what the risk is.
Yeah, you know, it's like $10, $20 stock, it's fine.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't think there's a risk.
Just do it once, Elon. My take is it's going to be 10 to 1.
You think 10 to 1?
The reason is, I think when they did the 5 to 1, it was by necessity because they didn't have enough authorized, perhaps, outstanding shares.
Yeah.
I think it was like $2
billion. And I think the visibility of it becoming the largest company by far in the world was not quite there just yet at that time.
That's true. Yeah, but I feel like you have basically almost a billion outstanding shares. So if you do a 10 split, 10 to 1, you just
add a zero.
You just add a zero to everything and then you cut a zero to the stock price.
Maybe 100 to 1 giga split. Add two zeros. Let's do that.
100 to 1.
Wow. Yeah, 100 to 1. Why not? $10 stock price? Whatever.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
$10 stock price.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the volatility doesn't seem as crazy when it goes from $10 to $10.20.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, then back down to $9.80. You're like, oh, it's whatever, you know, but now it's like, oh, we went to 1,050. Now we're down to 950. It's like so traumatizing.
Yeah. For those who don't want a 100 to 1 split, just think about how many, How many more shares? How many shares you have after the 100-to-1 split versus the 10-to-1 split?
The only downside I see to that really is that like brokerage commissions in the United States, like institutional brokerage commissions, you know, not the payment for order flow stuff in Robinhood and most of the e-brokers that we all use, obviously engage in, but most of the institutional Wall Street uses a penny per share commission model. So they're not selling the order flow and letting you trade for free to make money on the side as much. So a penny per share, they might charge a fifth of a penny per share now. Years ago, it was like 2 pennies or 5 pennies a share. But let's say it's a quarter of a penny a share. Well, now you're paying, you know, institutions to get in and out of Tesla. You know, if it's a quarter of a penny per share to, you know, now you have to buy 10 times more shares or 100 times more shares at that rate. So it's more expensive to get in and out of the position with brokerages. But, you know, in Europe and the rest of the world, they use like a basis points model. So it wouldn't matter. But
that's true. I mean, with 100-to-1 split, you'd have Tesla becoming the dominant options.
Oh, options too. Yeah, it would. But there's already a lot of options going on. But you know what? Maybe there'd be such a flood of liquidity that, like, you know, it might, you know, maybe the perception is not going to be as that the stock is not as volatile. So the option, the options would be much harder to. It would be much less attractive to the gamblers, maybe. You know, because there's so many gambling mentality type. You know, me, I'm a gambler, you know, probably not like options, it's just like a gambling type of thing almost, you know. So maybe the gambling attractiveness wouldn't be as attractive for options on a 10-to-1, because you'd be like, oh, well, I'm going to buy, and the strike prices would only be 50-cent increments. They couldn't be like 10-cent increments, right? It'd be like a $10 strike or a $10.50 strike, $11 strike.
Huh. Interesting. Lots of pros and
cons. Lots of interesting. Yeah. 100-to-1 gigasplit or 50-to-1 gigasplit. That's what we advocate. That's what I advocate. I don't know. I'm not talking about Dave. I advocate gigasplit 50 or 100-to-1.
All right, guys. After the talk, go ahead in the comment section, vote for your, or just add your comment on what type of stock split you'd expect or you want from Tesla. Definitely going to be interesting times. I'm thinking they'll announce the shareholder meeting perhaps at the earnings report, as I guess. And I expect the shareholder meeting to be earlier because I don't think there was a reason for them to announce the stock split unless
they were really close to doing it.
Yeah, there's something coming up. And so what we have April, so probably early June. That's my guess. Yeah, month and a half or so.
It used to be in June before COVID. Yeah, so maybe it'll be June, first week of June again or second week of June again.
Yeah, definitely. Sounds good.
We used to go to those meetings and like stand up in line and ask questions with a microphone. Yeah. People can go back and watch. That's funny. Back when it was not as crazy.
Yeah. I remember there are strategies on how you can ask the question.
Yeah, you have to stand by the, you have to sit down by the microphone. There's always like a union guy sitting there too, because he's like paid by the union to own the one share and make sure he gets his question about the union in. And then you're like behind that guy, you're like, you know, the vegan leather person, you know, it's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, those are the days. Nowadays, it's this probably a different level.
Yeah, very different level. Yeah, so submit it on say.com. Get voted.
Exactly. All right. Any other kind of things on your mind for you?
No, I'm. You know, it's been great being in Austin for my first time ever. Beautiful city. You know, Dave's trying to persuade me to move out here, and I might, who knows, you know, more mask lockdowns in Northern California might persuade us to get out of there, but we'll
just
see.
Drove around Emmett to the nicest neighborhoods and to come to the nice river stream.
Yeah, it was really nice. Yeah.
Driving through the mountains or hills.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Yeah, thanks again.
Fun stuff. All right. Thanks guys for tuning in. Check out TeslaCon. Just type in TeslaCon. Hopefully there'll be a live stream or some videos on that. Bunch of great speakers. At TeslaCon, Sandy Monroe, there'll be panels galore.
Yeah, there's an itinerary somewhere. I think you and I are both making appearances there. It goes from like 1 to 5. It's like a 4-hour thing or something.
Yeah. If you don't have a ticket, I don't know. I mean, no, I can't say they'll be loose, but yesterday, Anwar Beck, he's one of the organizers, he's just handing out tickets left and right. So, we'll see. Good catching up with everyone. And we'll see you guys in our next episode.
All right.
Bye.